grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. All right, how many of you thought today's parable was kind of weird? It is. All right, it starts off okay. We've got this king who throws a wedding banquet for his son. Fine. But then people refuse to come. Why? Maybe they don't like the king. Maybe they don't like his son. But whatever their reason, they're basically thumbing their noses at the king. Right, that's a political no-no. It's like if the president were to send you a personal invitation to have dinner at the White House. Whether you like the president or not, refusing to go would look like disloyalty. But that's what they did. The text says that they made light of it and went away. One to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. They think their everyday lives are more important than the king's party. And they kill anybody who tries to take them to the party. Right, okay, we get it. They don't want to go. Then the story takes a dark turn. Because the king orders that they all be murdered and their city burned to the ground. Wow. This king doesn't take disloyalty very well, does he? The next part of the story sounds okay. He orders that his slaves bring in everybody they find from off the streets. But then the king sees a guy who's not wearing the wedding robe, and he kicks the guy out. In fact, he sends him into the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the gospel of the Lord? Praise to you, O Christ? Really? It sounds kind of messed up here. What are we supposed to make of it? Well, first of all, it's always important to keep a text in its context. But it's really important here. The Gospel of Matthew was written around the year 85 or so. And the original audience was Jewish people who were believers in Jesus. And the audience also knew that not everybody believed in him. So that means Matthew's community was aware that some people had rejected the invitation. Plus, they knew that in the year 70, so about 15 years earlier, the Romans came into Jerusalem, massacred a bunch of people, and burned the city to the ground. Just like the parable talks about. Now, it's not that the parable predicted the destruction of Jerusalem. It's more like when Matthew's audience heard this, they couldn't help but think of what happened. Now, today, we probably wouldn't say that some tragedy occurred because people don't believe in Jesus. Right? We know some people might go there. And we heard them go there after things like 9/11 and Hurricane Katrina, but we wouldn't say that. But we do still feel sad when people don't follow Jesus. Maybe it's people we hear about on the news. Or maybe it's a family member or friend. Right? Your heart breaks for them because you want them to know Jesus the way you do. Right? Whoever it is, we know that there are people today who refuse the invitation. Why? Because they have, quote, more important things going on. They have their farm or their business, their family, or soccer practice, or sleeping in, or whatever it is. It kind of feels like they're thumbing their noses at Jesus. It feels like they're being disloyal. So this group of Jewish Christians in Matthew's community knew that not everybody was following. And they also knew that they, as Christians, weren't welcome into the temple. And so when they heard the next part of the parable, they would have been comforted. Right? In the aftermath of the destruction of the city, the king still wants to have his party. So he orders his slaves to bring in everybody they can find from off the streets. That means it's the unlikely, the unexpected, and the unknown. And the banquet hall is filled with people. Matthew's audience would have seen themselves there. Right? They were the ones who had been kicked to the curb. They were the ones who had been excluded. But now, through the grace given to them in Jesus, they are accepted. They're welcomed. They have a place. And we could say the same is true for us. Right? We are the unlikely, and the unexpected, and the unknown too. We've experienced rejection and heartbreak and betrayal in our lives. And so when we hear that they're welcomed at the table, that's very good news. No matter what your life has been like, Jesus welcomes you. He accepts you. He includes you. He has a place for you. And it would be wonderful if the parable ended there. But it doesn't. Because that could very easily make Matthew's community and us think that just being a believer is better than not being a believer. It could make us feel superior to them. It could make us think that so long as you've got the name Christian, then you're good to go. But that's not the case. The king comes in to mingle with the people. And he sees this guy who's not wearing the wedding garment. But wait, just a minute here. Why is that such a big deal? The king just ordered his slaves to bring in people from off the streets. So why is he so upset that a homeless guy isn't wearing a tux, so to speak? If anybody's welcome, then the king should know that some people are going to be there in dirty clothes. If anyone's accepted, then that means they bring their baggage and their scars with them. You don't have to clean yourself up before you meet Jesus, right? So what's going on here? Well, this is not a question about whether the guy is welcome at the party. Right, that's a given. He's already there. And Matthew's community is already there. And you and I are already there. People who have baggage and scars and dirty clothes are there. You do not have to clean yourself up first. So his place and your place at the party are not the issue here. The issue is what happens after you get to the party. Or in other words, God loves you no matter what. So now that you don't have to do anything, what are you going to do? This guy decided not to do anything. He decided not to wear the wedding garment. Now, some scholars think that anybody in that day, even people from off the streets, would have had this wedding garment, or they could have borrowed one. other scholars think that the host would have provided one. So in either case, the guy has it, but he's refusing to wear it. Why? Because he seems to think that simply being there is enough. Basically, he just wants the free food, not the king who comes with it. For example, today, some people might think, well, I'm saved by grace. I don't really have to do anything. I'm a Christian. God loves me no matter what. So I can just come to worship on Sunday morning, if I even do that, and then just live the rest of my life the way I want. But like the first group of invited guests, this guy who's not wearing the wedding garment is disrespecting the king. He's basically saying, I want all of the benefits you provide, like this abundant feast, forgiveness of my sins, answers to my prayers, heaven after I die, all that wonderful stuff, but I'm not going to be obedient to you. I'm not going to live my life any differently than I normally would. I don't want to wear this wedding garment. We could say this is the difference between being a member of a congregation and being a disciple of Jesus. Just showing up is not enough. And since this guy doesn't want to live by the king's rules, then that's exactly what he gets. He is sent into the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, does that mean that God is going to send us to hell if we don't do everything God wants? Will God cast us aside if we're not super involved in the life of the congregation? No. Because this parable is not about your salvation or the afterlife. It's about this life. Right, think about Matthew's community again. There was not only a distinction between believers and non-believers, there was also the question about who among them was a genuine believer. All right, remember, these are new Christians and they're just getting started. So they were trying to figure out who was actually living the Christian life. This is why the Gospel of Matthew has so many sorting parables. All right, sheep and goats, wheat and weeds, good fish and bad fish, that kind of thing. This community was trying to sort out who was doing the Christian life right and who wasn't. Today, we still struggle with that too. Right? We say that we're Christians in 21st century America, but what does that really look like? What does that mean? Right? There's all sorts of flavors of Christianity in America today. And quite often, we think that some of them do a better job understanding the life of faith than others do. But remember, being a Christian does not mean that you just do more good works than your neighbor who's not a Christian. Or even your neighbor who's giving Christians a bad name. Being a Christian means that you have been brought into the party by the grace of the King. And now you're obedient to him and live by his rules. And that brings us to one more weird part in this parable. A part that's in the background. It's all of the other partygoers who are wearing their wedding robes. Right? They're excited to be included in this party. And they show obedience to the king at the same time. They do the weird thing of live lives that say, We will not bow to the ways of the world. We will not live our lives the way they used to be. We will not focus on ourselves or think that showing up is all it takes. Instead, we will listen to the king and serve him and follow his rules. He is loyal to us, and we will be loyal to him. This was very good news for Matthew's community and for us. Right? Although they struggled with what the Christian life really looks like, and although we struggle with it too, the promise is that they and we are still accepted by the king. The king wants his party to go on no matter what. And no refusal, no torch city, no selfishness, and not even death itself is going to stop the joy that the king has for you. That is the weirdest part of the whole story. This feast is for you. So come. Put on the wedding robe and join this party with a bunch of other weirdos. Your life will never be the same. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of the one who welcomes sinners like us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.